Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 264. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo. Om Jnana Timurandasya Kanantana Salakaya. Raksurunmulatam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manopishtam stapitam yena bhutale. Shayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapatantikam. Adadanastanam dante idam yache puna puna. Imad rupa padam boja tulisham janma janmani. Vairagya bhakti visham payatnai apaya mamana bipsamandam kripam buddhiya paraduka duki sanatanastam prabhumasriyami panchakalpa turubhyasta kripa sindhu vayebhaja patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sutra Siyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. She wants to do some deity work, but she just has to let her sit in the back and you sit in the front, okay? And then just open up the curtains so people could take darshan of Giriraj, okay? And just open them up. We'll be right with you here. We have a nice crowd here. And if you see the outfit, it's a hand-painted Govardhan Hill with cows. It's all hand-painted, and I have such a nice crowd of bridge bossies here, so it may take time for the past to get done. Okay. So the glories of singing the name. Elsewhere, the Vishnu Dutas have spoken about the glories of singing the names of the Lord to the Jamadutas. Quote, a sinner is not purified as much by undergoing atonement or by observing vows delineated by those who know the Vedas, as by uttering the names of the Lord, because these names reveal the knowledge of the virtues of the glorious Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6-11. The effect of uttering the names of the Lord is not limited merely to absolving sins, but also grants one direct experience of the Lord's attributes. Okay, so readings from my favorite place, Itanagari. There is no place as Vrindavan, outside of Vrindavan, as Itanagari. Anyone who has lived here, who has served Radha Damodar, fully realizes that. And we had a very wonderful July 4th festival at Devadeva's house, which is in the service of Radha Damodar. Big old house in a beautiful land. There's about, I don't know, I lost count, maybe about 10 or more people staying here comfortably, maybe 15. And we had a wonderful program and feast, and nice to see all the devotees. I also went over to Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Samadhi today. They're finishing that. Ekavir and Advaita, other Dambasis. Such a nice experience. Now, we've been discussing from the box. Oh, okay. Hope everybody, can people still hear me? Hare Krishna? Let me something here. Can you all still hear me? Can anybody still hear me? Say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Yes, Marsh.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Okay. So we're studying the Kirtan section because this is Bhakti Sandarbha, the ultimate delineation of the process of devotional service. And we're on the section of the different items. And we've naturally progressed. I've discussed this many times. Sharanagati, taking shelter. You have to have faith in your relationship with Krishna. I got weird sounds today, I don't know why, but you have to have faith in your relationship with Krishna and take shelter of the sadhus, and then from the sadhus you hear about Krishna and in front of the deities, in front of the deities you somehow have to keep, you can sit on a chair if you need. Okay, that's okay. Just in front of the deity. But if you feel uncomfortable, you can sit there. And then, naturally, without hearing from by hearing, you become inspired to chant. That's what we're doing here, basically. Every week, we're hearing about Krishna. We're hearing about the process of Krishna. When you hear about Krishna, you become attracted to Krishna. When you become attracted to Krishna, you chant about Krishna. We're also hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You should chant about Krishna. And so we've been discussing it systematically. I'll give a little bit review. Come on in. How do you go? Wow. Got a full house of the proprietors of the Spruce Hill Diner just came in. So that has the best ice cream in Juniata County, the best ice cream. So this is so with Kirtan section. So he first glorifies chanting the name, and it's the best atonement. This is from the story of Ajamil. And, of course, the question of Ajamil's story begins at the end of the fifth canto. It's the hellish planet. So Maharaj Prickett is a compassionate Vaishnava. It's very touching. Even though he's dying, he's concerned with others. People who deal with sick people, you know that the tendency when you're sick is to become self-absorbed. Sometimes even people like to get sick to get a little love sometimes. But not that sick. And what to speak of dying? Well, you know, everything moves around you. It's very hard when you're dying to think of others. Maharaj Prickett, he only has a few days to live. He hears about the hellish planets. And he becomes concerned, what is the best process of freeing them from suffering? Because suffering is due to sinful reactions. There's four ways to offend someone. There's four ways to respond, to counteract the offense, depending on the severity of the offense. If it's just incidental, then deep regret will counter the offense. If it's a little more serious, apology. A little bit more serious, or you know, much more serious, atonement. And if it's extremely serious, you may just have to undergo the reaction to that. So Maharaj Prickett's concerned, what's the best way of atonement? People commit sins, they're going to go to hell. And so that whole story of Ajamil is to discuss that the best process, free one from suffering, ultimately give one love of God, is chanting holy name. Just a side point, I was there with in Vrindavan in the last months of Srila Prabhupada's manifested pastimes, and I was so nice. I remember one time he was on his bed, and he was talking to Tamal Krishnamurti. And I believe someone told me that today is Tamal Krishnamurti's appearance day. Does anyone know that? Is that true? Okay. So just the heart made me automatically want to glorify him. He was serving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked him, you know, and he wanted to know what the devotees were eating. He couldn't eat anything. But he was concerned what the devotees were eating. And they told him the whole menu. And the devotees, there's very primitive conditions to cook at that time. People were dirt poor. And then all of a sudden you have this temple where everybody from the world is coming, but Prabhupada's leaving his body. Fortunately, we had one of the all-time great cooks, Ayodhyapati. He took sannyas, and his name was Bibi Govindaswami. It was fantastic. And Tamal Krishnamurti was telling him how nicely the devotees were eating. So that reminds me of Maharaj Prickett, you know, Paraduka Duki. Your suffering is the suffering of others. That's the advanced soul. Anyway, in the story, the point is there's a verse where it says the best atonement is to chant the holy name. And the commentator, Sridhar Swami, said, of course, the holy name is the internal potency. Let's make that point. Potency is, in Sanskrit, is Shakti. Shakti is the energy that comes from the source of energy to serve the needs and pleasure of the source of that energy. That's called Shaktiman. So Krishna is satisfied by his Shaktis, and his Shaktis move to give him pleasure. His ultimate pleasure is love. Therefore, the Purna Shakti, the complete Shakti, the Srimati Radharani, is the personification and the embodiment and the intensification of the Ladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency. All Shakti is meant to serve Krishna, and ultimately meant to serve Krishna's pleasure, which is pure love. The holy name of Krishna is that internal potency. It's also the embodiment of pleasure for God. And when you take it into your heart with the intention to please God, that's the best spiritual process. This is being discussed. And then there's a verse from the Padma Purana, which is very, very interesting. it's by Lord Shiva. And it's discussed how much God likes that holy name. Because it's his internal potency. It's the embodiment of the energy to give him pleasure. What, oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. It's the appeal for his pleasure. It's the embodiment of his pleasure, and it's non-different from him. So that's so powerful, that holy name. And it's so much, therefore, induces love within the heart, which is the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. What Shiva says, whenever I hear any name, because he's a devotee of Lord Ram, any name beginning with R, love is awakened, Ram. When I hear any name beginning with R, it induces love in my heart, because I think it may be the name of Lord Ram. So see the potency of the holy name. But destroying sins is hardly the big thing here. So he quotes a verse that the primary result of chanting the holy name of Krishna is the primary result is prema, or love. It is Krishna prema, love. That's the primary result. Chanting the name of Krishna gives love, and he quotes this verse from the 11th canto, which I always quote, evam vratasya kriya nama krita. But to chant the name of your beloved Lord. Beloved Lord means the Lord you have relationship with. Hare Krishna. Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Hare. We have relationship, we're serving them. We chant the Maha Mantra, the Yugala Mantra, Yugala too, Radha and Krishna. We have relationship. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. So we have relationship. So chanting those names is the names that really invoke with love. And it says, by kirtan, you get love. By kirtan, of the names of your beloved Lord. And then, after this verse is given in the 11th canto, a very, very it says, oh, he's not here. Okay, I just a very, very interesting thing is done, because this seems very, very startling. How can such a state of mind be attained simply by moving the tongue? So this is the question that comes up. This verse says that when you chant the name of your beloved Lord, the love of God, and you begin to cry, you begin to laugh, you attain the highest state of spiritual perfection, the fullest emotion of the heart, the highest degree of attachment. So how can this state of mind be attained? Well, how can this state of mind be attained? Because generally, when you want to achieve perfection, you first have to become detached. When you perform austerities, right, to thousands and thousands of years, birth after birth, life after life, life after life. But this verse says, you just chant the name. And then there's the famous verse that's quoted in the Bhagavatam, right, to show that there's no real prerequisite required of doing so many things. And that verse says, bhakti parashanu bhavo varaktir. It's a famous verse. It says, just as when one eats, three things happen at once. The pain of hunger goes, one becomes satisfied, and one relishes. So in the same way, bhakti parashanu bhavo varaktir, three things happen all at once, just like that. When you perform bhakti, your devotional service, and chant the holy name, then three things happen. Viraktir, you become detached. Not before, but anubhava, as you're getting direct realization. Parashanu bhava means of the Supreme Isha, Lord, you get realization or experience. And bhakti, or love, they all come at once. There's no prerequisite. It's a very, very startling thing, and it shows the glories of the Supreme Lord. And then, it quotes a very, very interesting, it quotes two interesting verses that show this point that there's no prerequisite for this process of nam kirtan, which is so effective to give one prema bhakti. And it says, if one cannot fix one's mind on Lord Shri, you're not capable of doing that, even after you're overcome fear, related with both day and night, having conquered sleep, freed from undesirable association, becoming detached, having gained a vision of the Absolute, eating frugally, and being fully peaceful in mind, even if you can't fix your mind after doing all those things, then without inhibition, one should loudly chant the names of the Lord which awaken love for him. If you can't fix the mind, you can't eat frugally, you can't do all those things, can't do them. This is from a book, Bhagavan Nam Komodi, a famous book on Nam quoted by the six Goswamis. Can't do all those things, then what? Without inhibition, loudly chant the holy names of the Lord, and you'll awaken praying for him. But there's no prerequisite. I'll just, to warm up the crowd here, I'll just tell, because I have a full audience here of Giranagari Basis. I'll just tell you that story about there's no prerequisite, there's no material qualification for Krishna consciousness. I tell you, I had an assistant called James, and he was like a Zen Buddhist and very disciplined and very sober, you know, very, very amazing person who happened to go on to write books on Vaishnavism that are published. And so I took him to the Boston Temple, and they, maybe the story, I'll tell it quickly. Took him to the Boston Temple, and it was a Sankirtan festival, and I don't know what they were eating, but it was, you know, a lot. And then somehow they had a love jumping contest or something like this, you know, some kind of thing. Anyway, he came up to my room, you know, knock, and he would talk very deep. He said, he'd go, "Maharaj." And I would kind of bow you back. "Yes." "Can I speak to you?" "Yes." He said, "I have a doubt." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I do not know what my mother would think of me coming to this ashram. I do not know what she would think that I'm coming to this ashram. And before," because they did it before Prabhupada's Vyasa, "before your revered, your divine master, they were having this gluttonous contest. I do not know what your... I do not know what my mother would think of me coming to this ashram," whether... And then he says to me, he said, "I don't know what to think." You know, he said, "but then, Maharaj..." And then he said, "further than that, after the person won, then he... You know, before your divine master, he vomited or something like that. You know, I don't know what my mother would think. I cannot understand. It is the strangest thing for your divine master. I do not know what to think." He said, "but Maharaj, then I had a realization." I said, "what?" He said, "that there is no material qualification for Krishna consciousness." And I said, "James, stranger than having a feast and before our divine master in such a gluttonous way is you having a realization about it." Okay, I had to warm up the crowd here. So bhakti is independent of any requirement. The practice of kirtan is free of prerequisites. And then they tell this story. And it's about a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a fallen Kshatriya, commits sins. Sarvapatika, pervasive sins, excruciating sins, patipatika, ultimate sin. The Brahmin said, "if you're unable to carry out all these things I've told you," he told him to perform various at that moment, "let me know. I will give you something less demanding if you think you're unable to follow it," because he gave him some recommendations for atonement, because he committed all these heavy sins. Mahapatika, the great sins. So the Kshatriya Bandha, this fallen Kshatriya, he said, you know, he couldn't follow all this ritualistic atonement. He said, "because my mind is unstable and I'm unable to follow your instructions. So inform me of something I can perform through speech or body, because I can't control the mind. So give me something with speech or body." And the Brahmin said, basically, "I will tell you the simplest process, nothing easier. Right? You can't do anything else? While standing, sleeping, or moving about, whether in hunger, thirst, even falling down, always sing the names of Govinda." So, best process. Now it gave the glories. We just did a verse about the glories of singing name. Now a very, very interesting section comes. what beach bossies are coming in. Very interesting section. He wants to show how the Bhagavatam, what does this say in use? Okay. Makes sense. It's a very interesting section because it wants to show that the Bhagavatam is about Nam Kirtan. This is a very significant, because our line, everything is based on the Bhagavatam. That's the basis of our teachings, it's the Bhagavatam. What's the conclusion of the Bhagavatam? The conclusion of the Bhagavatam is Nam Kirtan. Okay, there's about 15 kids in the house, so a little distraction sometimes. Okay. At the end of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Parikshit expressed his desire to know the ultimate welfare of human beings. He said, what is the man is about to die? What should he not do? The Bhagavatam is based on that inquiry. After this, there's the whole first canto is a history of the Bhagavatam, and it ends with, the first canto ends with, Maharaj Prickett asking that question, Sukadeva Goswami. So this is and the second canto begins the answer. After this, the second canto begins. And in order to give the best reply to King's question, the sage Sukha first describes the supreme glory of the Bhagavad Prana. In other words, before he gives the answer, he's going to glorify the book which the answer comes. But he says, at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga, I studied the prana known as the Bhagavad. So how do I know this answer? I studied the Bhagavad. The Sukhas describe, how do I know this answer? I studied the Bhagavad. And what is the Bhagavad? It's equal to the Vedas. And who did I learn it from? From my father, Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas, incarnation of God, my father, Vyasadeva. And O sage among the kings, although I was firmly situated in Brahman, although I had nothing material, no desire, completely fixed, free from material quiet, my mind, why I studied, my mind became captivated by the enchanting pastimes of God. Therefore, I studied this Purana. Because you are great devotee of the Lord Maharaj Prickett, I will narrate this. I'll tell you what this great scripture is written by Vyas. And those who have faith in this prana, what is its benefit? If you have faith, you'll quickly develop your affections. Hey, this is it. It's written by, I was fixed in Vermont, I studied it from my father, this whole, and if you, the scripture is so great, and if you have faith in it, you get pure, pure love. So after this glorification of the Bhagavatam, Sukha begins the narration. So from the very outset, of the Bhagavatam. Although there are many limbs of devotion, I'm reading, he instructs the king that singing the Lord's name is the chief method, chief of all methods for attaining perfection. Furthermore, he informs the king that such singing of the name is the supreme goal. So it's a very, very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. It's the first instruction. Right after they narrate the Bhagavatam, this is a glorious thing. And to answer your question, I'm going to narrate the Bhagavatam. And it's the most glorious scripture, it's equal to the Vedas. I was fixed in Brahman. I became enchanted to it. I studied it from my father. It's glorious scripture. And then what's the first thing he says? And what is that? All the authorities, scriptures, they've concluded that chanting, Harinam anu kirtana, chanting the names, kirtan, nam kirtan, is the peerless method of success for all. For all. And who? Including those who desire material enjoyment, those who are disinterested, and those aspiring for liberation, those seeking knowledge. For all people, you name it,
It doesn't matter if they're liberated. It doesn't matter if they're detached. It doesn't matter if they want material enjoyment. It doesn't matter if they're aspiring for liberation. But all peerless method. Nothing wrong with it. Peerless, supreme method of all. Hari Nama Anu Kirtana. Hari Nama Kirtana, the best. And I was explaining today in my class that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he makes a commentary, and it's significant that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment. Because there are esoteric practices of meditation that were developed after the Goswamis, basically. Methods that are used today, like Bhavanasar by Siddha Krishnadas. I was in the temple. They have that book there. I was looking, wow, like Siddha Krishnadas, like 100 years ago, Bhavanasar. And these esoteric methods of meditation, they're bona fide, and they were developed, and one great scholar calls it the creative period after Lord Chaitanya, and they developed all these esoteric meditations. Where you ekadas bhav, you meditate on a mental facsimile of it. It's very esoteric. And, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is one of the people in the line who's really wrote and developed this. But what does he say? What is his commentary? His commentary is, of all the process of devotional service, three of the most important, most powerful. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Of them, chanting is the best. Of chanting and the four types of chanting, chanting about the name, chanting about the form, chanting about the qualities, and chanting about the lila, chanting about the name is the best. And of chanting of the name, when you chant the name of your beloved Lord, yet more love will develop in us. We have that relationship. So, Sridhar Swami, there is no method more beneficial than kirtan, both for the practitioner and for those who have already attained perfection. Sri Sukha speaks this verse just to make this clear. So, for all people, by saying that it is already concluded, it indicates that there is no need for further evidence in this regard. Right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, Jiva says, the Bhagavatam is about kirtan. And if you look at the last verse of the Bhagavatam, it says nam kirtan. Look at the very last verse. It also says nam kirtan. And there's also other verses in the 12th canto. Kaler Doshen Hey Rajan Eko Asti Mahaguna Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sam. Is that someone else? Must be. There's no other phones here, right? Okay. Okay. What? Okay. Okay. Kaler Doshen Hey Rajan. Does Kali use an ocean of faults? Eko asti mahaguna, but there's one good quality. Kirtanad eva krishna. So by kirtan, mukta sangam, you become liberated. Now, very interesting. What Jiva Goswami says, the singing of the Lord's names is more effective when done loudly, as indicated in this verse. And he quotes from the first canto. Abandoning all inhibition, I began to sing the names of the unlimited Lord. That was Narada Muni, who achieved perfection. Standing all in it, loud chanting. What's the first verse of the Sikshastakam that describes the six Goswamis? Very significant. Srinivas Acharya, the first thing he describes is many, many activities of the six Goswamis. But what's the first activity that's described? Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Pano Premamritam Boniri Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Mir Matsaro Pujito Sri Chaitanya Kripa Bharo Bhuvi Bhavo Paravahantarako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalaka. So, first thing, Krishna Utkirtan. Ut means enthusiastic, it means loud. Ut means the throat when it's extended. Like a bird, young bird, trying to get food from its mother, that's ut, the throat. Utkanta means enthusiastic. It means when the throat, utkanta, when the throat is stretched. Kanta means like konsati mala, neck beads, kanta. Utkanta, enthusiasm, one of the symptoms, Krishna kirtana. It's utkirtan. It's enthusiastic, loud kirtan. That's what this is, Six Goswamis. Now, very interesting discussion. It's going to discuss a little bit about the 10 offenses. First, it'll list them in kind of an interesting way, and then it'll discuss them elaborately in a very, very interesting way. In the practice of singing the Lord's names, one should avoid the 10 offenses described in Padma Purana, as in the words of Sanat Kumar. So the 10 offenses are listed in the Padma Purana by Sanat Kumar. And you must, if not should, you must avoid them. So, and it gives this verse. It says, even a person has committed all kinds of offenses is redeemed by taking shelter of the Lord. If you commit all kinds of offenses, you can be redeemed by taking shelter of Lord Hari. And if a human being who's committed offenses, even to Lord Hari, he's no better than, it says, a two-legged animal. In other words, now, committed all kinds of offenses. You get sheltered by taking, you can be redeemed. You take shelter of Lord Hari. And even one is no more than a two-legged animal who commits offenses, even to Lord Hari, if he takes shelter of the holy name, then the holy name delivers him. Okay, so if you commit offenses, you take shelter of Lord Hari, you can be redeemed. Even if you're so low that you offend Lord Hari, you can be delivered by taking shelter of the holy name. Therefore, the holy name is the best of all, but if one offends the name, fall down is inevitable. They're saying, don't offend the name. The name is more merciful than the form. Because you have to go see the form, but the name will come to you. Kirtan will intrude. Right? So the name is more merciful than the form. Now it gives the 10 offenses. So, no, we'll repeat them. But to criticize the devotees of the Lord is a grievous offense against the name. How can the name tolerate criticism of those great souls who are responsible for spreading its glory? So why? Name propagated by great souls. How can the name tolerate? How can the name tolerate criticism of those great souls? Name doesn't tolerate because the people are spreading it. I read a very interesting thing right recently, and it was by this devotee who had criticized another devotee, and the devotee did bad things. And you know, then that devotee died. Then the person wrote something nice about it. The people said, well, how can you write something nice about him? You were criticizing him for so long. And then that person wrote a very interesting. He said, you know, I was young. I was immature. I didn't really understand Vaishnavism, that devotees should be respected. And he said, that person did certain things which offended me, whatever, et cetera. He said, then if I was mature, I should have just stayed as distant as I need to maintain my respect. Because we should never disrespect the Vaishnava. I thought that was very interesting, the primacy of not offending the Vaishnava. And if somehow in a circumstance it's very difficult, then be respectful. You know, don't get close if you can't. It's so important. And today, if there's one thing I want to do is just read the section on Sadhu Sangha. I'll just read the other offenses. One who considers the name, virtues, and other attributes. Okay, we know the 10 offenses. I'll just make to disrespect one's teacher, and the implication is this most heinous because it's part of the first, but it's singled out. Don't offend the sadhus, and it says don't offend the guru. So it singles that out. So that's very, very serious. And it gives the 10 offenses. I'm not going to go over them today. I may go over them some other time. But, okay. Regarding the statement, even a person who has committed all kinds of offenses is redeemed by taking shelter of Lord Hari, which precedes the list of the 10 offenses. So before the 10 offenses, it gives that statement. The person who has committed all kinds of offenses is redeemed by taking receives. One should also consider the statement from Vishnu Yamala. So he wants to say, this is said before, it says all offenses are redeemed by taking shelter of Lord Hari. So he gives a quote. This is Vishnu Yamala. I forgive millions of offenses of a person who chants my name with faith in this world. There's no doubt about this. This is Vishnu. So just see the power of that name. And if you offend even Lord Hari, you can take shelter of the name. Because Lord Hari says, I forgive millions of offenses of a person who chants my name with faith in this world. There's no doubt about it. But the name is so, because it's the internal potency. We discussed this before. It's the internal potency. It is what gives God pleasure. If you chant his name with the intention to give him pleasure, what can be more glorious? From the first offense. Now, I want to just put this part today. If I'm still digesting the barbecue cheese. I had a discussion with David Day, but when you get the subject, right, everybody's looking for the cheese. So she said, just forget the subject, get the cheese. What was it, 20 gallons of milk, barbecue cheese. It's the 4th of July, so it was... Although she's an excellent Vedic cook, and this is one of the things she cooked today. Okay, from the first offense, to criticize the devotees of the Lord is a grievous offense against the name. Criticize is a grievous offense, it is evident to commit physical violence towards a devotee is so offensive that it cannot be described in words. Blasphemy against devotees and other similar offenses are described in a dialogue between Markandeya and Bhagavata in the Skanda Purana. It says, those fools who blaspheme the Vaishnava saints fall into a hell called Maharovara along with their forefathers. So I've discussed this before, that Jiva Goswami, he's like the ultimate scholar. You know, if a strong statement is made, he puts it in context. He balances it out. You know, so everything is very sensible and logical and reasonable. But sometimes in terms of the method of teaching of the Shastra, someone I think called it, I think Ravindra Chopra called it context relevance. And they speak very heavy and it's in a context, but they may not mention the context. You know, it's just like one will go to hell for a million. You know, it's very heavy. They don't mention the context because, you know, the point is being emphasized. Yeah. And the Western mind only understands the context. So if you say something like that, they'll take it as an absolute statement beyond that context. You know? In other words, they'll take it as an absolute statement. The statement will be spoken absolute, but it you know, the Indian mind understands it in a particular context, and it's just spoken that way to make the point. But the Western mind generally, if the context is not mentioned, it's not mentioned, and it's an absolute statement. It's a different way of mode of thinking. But I've noticed when it comes to offenses, Jiva Goswami, you know, generally says, he almost satisfies the Western scholarly mind. He says, well, this is the context of where it is spoken, and, you know, you're all, okay, shoo, that makes more sense. When it comes to the, I've read the whole Bhakti Sandarbha, when it comes to the point of offenses, he doesn't elaborate on the context. He lets it sit as heavy as possible. And I can only understand because he so much wants us to avoid offenses that he's going to let it sit. Those fools who blasphemy the Vaishnava saints fall into the hell called Maha Rovara along with their forefathers. Now, so that's like heavy, but he lets it sit. And he lets it sit because he wants this point to be thinking. Now, there's six activities that cause one to fall from the religion, the path of religion. So there's six types of sadhu ninda that displease the holy name. Six types. Very interesting. To kill a Vaishnav, okay. To criticize her or him. To bear malice against a Vaishnav. To fail to greet her or him, to become angry at a Vaishnav, and to not feel happiness by seeing a Vaishnav. So he makes it very, very subtle. What is sadhu ninda? Not to fail to greet a Vaishnav, to not feel happiness when seeing them. It's a very, you know, and cultured people, they're very careful about this. I mentioned that today in the class. Jiva Goswami says someplace else that that bhakti is very simple. What's difficult is avoiding offense. And it's very subtle here. I sometimes think that when you grow up in Western culture, if you throw the fist and it stops an inch from the nose, okay, no Vaishnava aparadha. But here it says, if you're not even happy to fail to greet them. So, and there's going to be a point here, I forgot what section, where it's going to make the point, I'm not sure where it was, I'm going to find it where, and it's not just referring to the spotless Vaishnavas. So now he's going to make another point. Now he said it's not just criticism of a Vaishnava as an offense, but hearing criticism. He's going to make it even more so. It's not just criticizing, hearing criticism. One of his criticism of God or his devotees and does not leave the area, loses all piety and goes to hell. N74.4. I told you, he's not. This is the only place in the Bhakti Sandarbha that I saw that I won't kind of intellectually put it in context. He'll leave it sit. You know? He'll leave it sit as a universal statement. Just because I guess he feels that this is the key to spiritual advancement. In terms of now, when it is said that a person, now look how heavy this gets, when it is said that a person should leave the place where criticism of the Lord or his devotees is perpetrated, this applies specifically to one who is incapable of retaliation. If one is able, he or she should cut out the tongue of the critic. And if he is unable to do so, one should give up one's life, as the goddess Sati spoke. So then he references from the Bhagavata. If frivolous people criticize one's worship of a Lord who is the protector of religious principles, and one does not have the power to silence them, one should cover one's ear and leave that place. However, one has the ability, one should forcibly cut out the tongue of the blasphemer or even give up his own life. This is appropriate conduct. If someone asks the question, I'll put it in context. Don't do this. Leave the place. And I had this, I was telling you today also, when I got kidnapped by Ted Patrick, and he would try to blow my mind. But, you know, first my seeker was cut out, and, you know. So he stood before me, and then he started to curse. Prabhupada and Krishna with four-letter words. And then he looked at me and he said, he had a little bit of a southern drawl. I don't know how well I do it, but he said, in your nectar of devotion, it says that if someone blasphemes the guru, you got to kill yourself. You want to kill yourself? You know, we're like fired up, you know, follow Shastra, you know, trying to blow my mind. And it says on page 32 of your nectar of devotion, that one who blasphemes, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill yourself, man? He's trying to, like, play with my mind. That's the whole thing, you know, to crack your mind. And you can see, like, you know, a new devotee reading the Shastras and accepting, you know, the statements literally, you know, reading the Bhakti Sandarbha, the devotee says. But I was very, I don't know if I was very sharp, but I had read it. I knew that I had another option. And that was to cut out his tongue. So I jumped at him, and no, I didn't do that. No, the other option was to leave. So I said, I'm getting out of here. I started to walk away, and he was blocking me, and then I said something to distract him, and that was it. He didn't blow my mind on that one. He just did the seriousness of it. And we read it before in hearing, right, that every person, whether he desires material enjoyment, is completely detached, or is desiring perfection, that, you know, every person will want to hear the glories of the Lord. The materialists, because they're so attractive, you can see that. In Kumbh Mela, all the impersonalists, they put on Ras Leelas in 10 Canto. They all do kirtan. Everyone, the people who desire liberation, the materialists, everyone, who will not hear? One person can't hear. Pashubhya, the killer of the animals, the killer of the soul, which means one who literally is, you know, slaughtering animals. And that's where it's a dip. So the killer of the animals, then Jiva Goswami says what? And who's the killer of the animals or killer of the soul? The one who criticizes devotees. And then he makes that statement, I can't remember where, that envy is when it is in the heart, and criticism is when it comes out. So criticism is worse than envy. And he says, criticism is worse than throwing a spear through one's body, because the spear can only pierce the body. Criticism can pierce the heart. So, you know, we need to hear this, the Vaishnav culture. And sometimes when you see how the medium of internet is used and how careless and loose people are in the name of being a Brahmin and speaking the truth, they don't have some Bundagan. They don't know the Shastra. They don't know what Jiva Goswami says. And that's the problem, that people are speaking who are not qualified to speak because they do not know the Shastra. They don't have a balanced understanding. Someone who knows the Shastra wouldn't be so careless with how they speak about others, what to speak about publicly. It means they have no sambandhagyan, no discriminatory knowledge based on Shastra. And if you don't have discriminatory knowledge based on Shastra,
you shouldn't be speaking. And if you speak, you better be careful, because your speech can lead you to go to hell.
Cultured person, when he sees, my God, people don't know the Shastra. Have they not read the story of Sati? Have they not read the stories in the Bhagavatam? You see, when you have some bandhagyan, when you have Shastric knowledge, why does it say a Majjim Bhagavat, an Uttama Bhagavat? It means Uttama Adhikari, the topmost qualification to practice devotional service is one who has knowledge and faith. Why knowledge? Because without knowing what to do, how can you have faith in it? And faith is not just I believe or I don't believe. It's a psychological condition of the mind that is accepted. And therefore, when someone has read Shastra and knows Shastra, he has faith in Shastra. I read this book by Sripad Bhakti Pramod Puri. It's called The Heart of a Vaishnava. It's all discussions of Vaishnava aparad from the Shastra and all the stories of Sati and Daksha and, you know, Ramachandra Puri and Gopalachandra from the Sisi and so many things. And when you read that and you know that and you hear it from different angles, then you can practice that. And what's practicing? It's a principle of devotional service that you don't offend devotees. You have faith in it because you've heard, you understand. And therefore, you have faith in it, you have knowledge, and therefore you have faith. And then you have the best qualification to practice. And if you don't study the Shastra and you don't hear these things and you don't think about them, then you won't have faith. And what will happen? You'll go and, you know, someone gets you upset, you'll write about him and you'll criticize. And you'll speak to others. That means you don't have you cannot practice what the scriptures say, the principles of spiritual life. You don't have faith. Faith is Shastriya Shraddha. We have faith in Shastra means we have faith in Guru. Guru represents the Shastra. Have faith in what they say. What do they say? Don't offend the Vaishnava. Be careful. Sadhu Savdan. Be careful, Sadhu. Be careful, Sadhu. So Jiva Goswami is very, very... I don't want to go into the next section. It's very interesting also. It's the second offense. And not to think that the name virtues and to think that Lord Shiva, the name, virtues of Lord Shiva is independent or equal to Lord Vishnu. That's what we discuss next. And it is quite interesting. In other words, he's not independent. Therefore, he's not equal. He's not independent. He's not equal. He's also not independent. There's a certain equality in that. You shouldn't offend Lord. I mean, two things. You shouldn't offend Lord Shiva. You shouldn't offend the demigods. Or should you think that they're on the same par as... Okay, there. We'll go 5 more minutes or something. Are there any questions today?
Yeah, hi, Krishna.
Okay, Gail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a couple. In the beginning, you had said that when you were making the analogy between, you know, getting free from the pain of hunger and getting satisfied, you know, and relishing.
Yeah.
You said that, you know, simultaneously, we become detached, I guess, from material desires, and we begin to realize God, and we begin to develop love for Him.
Right.
Now, the realizing God part, that's more fuzzy for me.
It's not fully realized, but to the extent that you realize. In other words, what that means is, I gave the example, is that in bhakti, if you're developing love, then you're also developing detachment. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta's criticism, that people claim they have Raganuga Bhakti,
If you have Raghunuga Bhakti and taste for Krishna, you'll have simultaneously have a simultaneous level of detachment. So if you're doing, you know, you're not detached, you're engaged in all sorts of material activities, then we question your level of. And at the same time, when a Vaishnava becomes detached, you know, he's also developing. They're all coming simultaneously, including Pareshanubhavo. Anubhavo means experience or realization of God. It doesn't mean a full experience. It's a gradual process, but your experience of God, your detachment, and your love for God, they're rising simultaneously. Vaishnavism, it's not that you have to have prerequisites of so many, you know, austerities, detachment, etc., and then come to that platform. No. You begin chanting and hearing, and everything comes up at once. Okay?
I guess you... Can I ask another question?
One more question, Gail.
Difficult to choose, but I'll just say, okay, hearing, you know, sometimes I think that we hear that chanting is the best of the processes, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, chanting, it means hearing, because you're chanting in order to hear.
Right.
But then you also sometimes hear that hearing is the best, you know, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she wants to know sometimes, and we say chanting is the best.
The chanting or hearing? I mean, I know that chanting means hearing, but...
She says chanting means hearing. But, well, that's probably why it's better. Because hearing, you're just engaging the ear. But when you're chanting, you're engaging the tongue and the ear. So when you're chanting... It's technically more absorbing, but of course, at the highest level, if you're remembering Krishna, it's the exact same. In other words, the goal is to remember Krishna. I say chanting is the best, the name of chanting, but it's the best way to remember Krishna. When you're in kirtan, it's the best way to remember Krishna. And it's best because you're also using the tongue and you're using the ear. But if someone is just hearing and absorbed, that's just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Or serving, or anything else that absorbs him. The key is absorption, but on a technical level, from two standpoints, because the sound vibration, the body, the senses, the devotees, the kirtan, the music, is very absorbing. And also, that we cannot minimize that Nam Kirtan is the process given by Lord Chaitanya. So it's a certain pleasure of Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
In the Priyat Bhagavatamrita, not Priyat, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says, Sankirtanaika Pitaro, he's the father of Sankirtan. And one saint made the point that if you want to please the father, right, he's the father of Sankirtan, you want to please the father, then you serve the son. How do you serve Sankirtan? By chanting the holy name. So it's something, Lord Chaitanya gave the process. So you're not only absorbing yourself in the name, but there's a subtle pleasure of his because you're taking up the process that he gave and he invested. So there's something with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain pleasure. I see that too, It's just a connection. It's just a natural personal connection. I remember I was just with Radhanath Swami. It's kind of connected. And he was so pleased that he went to, I think, Athens, Ohio. There's one college center. And the preaching there from New Vrindavan by some of the young devotees, they made one PhD student a devotee. You know, PhD student. And Radhanath Swami went there, and the person introduced him so proudly to all the professors in the department. But I can see it was a special pleasure to him because that was the service that he used to do. He went out to all those places and college preaching. He told me in Bombay, he said, There are 750 college students now. 750. They said another 300 that are chanting at least four. So it's a certain pleasure because that's what he's done. You know? So Lord Chaitanya gave Nam Kirtan. So there's a certain pleasure when you take up the process that he gave. But there's something extra there, some extra potency in that particular process. Besides the fact that he gave it because it's so absorbing. And therefore, later we'll read here it says devotion in the form of kirtan. Devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those devoid of false prestige. It's because people are so fallen in this age, they can't do anything else. And you see it. People are not yogis, but you see when they get into kirtan, they can get so absorbed by that process, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And it's just as good as a yogi meditating, if it's done in the right way. In the right way, kirtan, with the right devotees, and you're fortunate to get in that kirtan, you're able to sit for 3-4 hours. We did that at the Ruffles house. We did that on the Panihati the second day, and Achyuta, Priya and Ananta Govinda came from New York, and Bibi Govinda Swami and Indradumna Swami came, and then they were chanting together. And if you sat there for 3 hours, you were absorbed. We're not yogis. We're not yogis, but for 3 hours, you're absorbed. And so it's absorbing, and it's also the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And you can see that people can attain a very high platform of Krishna consciousness by that type of absorption. Okay, Gail?
Yes.
We will have a session soon.
I guess I'll have to hang on to my faith question.
I can see you've built up another 3,500 questions.
No, I haven't.
I'm just joking, Gail.
I was just trying to see if I could squeeze in that last
I
one,
know.
But it's not working. It's not working.
I know, Gail. I got also a big audience here, so they can't hear the question. It's only 2-3 left. How can you? You've already asked every question possible. There's no questions left, Gail.
No.
I
guess
know.
It was...
Okay, Gail, we'll do it some other time, okay?
Okay.
I was just joking, okay?
But all
the devotees here are enjoying this conversation here. Okay.
A big Hari Bol to all of them.
Gail says a big Hari Bol to everyone. Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to ask a question? On the phone first, and then we'll go. Okay? Excuse the high level of intoxication here, but it was quite a nice program that we had here. Okay. Anybody like to say Hare Krishna today? Hare Bol? Anybody out there today like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Shiny Tai here.
Shiny Tai, let me tell you an interesting story, okay?
All right.
On the way back from Columbus on the plane, and this was kind of relevant to what we were talking. On the way back from Columbus to the plane, I'm sitting next to a guy about 36 years old. Right? And he starts to ask about the robes, right?
Yeah.
He's a doctor from Columbus, a surgeon. And by the end of the conversation, I have his email, and the next time that I come to Columbus, he's coming over for dinner. Okay.
Great.
Okay. We have to talk sometime, some other thing. But I think you'd be interested to hear about that. Just on the plane, you know?
Yeah, it could be big, Maharaj.
This doctor, you know, nice guy.
We got a doctor, we got a pharmacist. What more can we need?
But it was so interesting, too, because he was such a nice person, right? And he told me, he said, I'm making more money than I need. He said, you know, you make profit on every operation at least $1,500, even the minor ones, right? He said, you know, I do 20, 25 minor ones a month, you know, and maybe 4 or 5 huge ones a month. I make so much more money. He said a guy comes into him, right? And the guy comes in and, you know, he checks him out. And he says, well, you have cancer. And the guy says, well, okay. He says, you know, I just got laid off my job. I don't have health insurance. I can't afford it. So he said, okay, I'll do it for free. He did the thing for free. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, we'll talk. Anyway, thank you for at least saying that there's someone there. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhagavati.
Bhagavati, nice to hear from you again.
I was watching the State College fireworks the whole time I was listening to you.
Was there some correlation between... watching fireworks at the same time I was talking about. I must have been really preaching hell, brimstone, and fire, and you need some visual. Okay.
No. It was either that or just endure the loud bangs without seeing them.
Okay, I'm glad you muted your phone, though.
Yeah, I was, too.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
One more person like to say Hare Krishna? Probably half the people are in the house that are usually on the phone. Okay. Thank you all for... and then I can answer some questions here, which people do. Vanshakalpa, Tarubhya, Stha, Kripasindhu, Vayavita.